Hi everyone, Drew Perrot here, host of the Broken Brain Podcast. Today is Big Idea Tuesday. I think this podcast is being released on a Wednesday, but either way, it's Big Idea Tuesday, where I bring a thought, a distinction, an idea to the table that's radically transformed my life for the better. You know, I love these Big Idea Tuesday episodes because if I genuinely think back on my life, I'm 37 years old, so I haven't lived a lot of it, but I've lived a little bit of it. If I genuinely think back on my life and I think about the things that brought me the deepest sense of joy and contentment, and most importantly, peace, I find that they're distinctions that help me change my perspective on how I see the world. They're not my diet or the supplements that I'm taking or the latest new technology or gadget that's out there. They're often changes in understanding that I've had internally that help me see the world in a different place, which brings a deep sense of inner peace. That's why you'll find in this Big Idea Tuesday episodes that I bring to the table, they're reflections on the things that have made the biggest shift for me. And my hope is that if you're listening to this podcast and you enjoy them, that they bring a shift for you. By the way, two things. We have a new Broken Brain Podcast community on Facebook. If you go to Facebook and you type in Broken Brain Podcast, you'll see it show up and you can join our Facebook group. It's a free place where people from this podcast are now starting to connect. I opened it up to a few folks and now we're letting a few more folks in. If you want to discuss these episodes, if you have a question for me, I'm not going to be able to get back to them all. If you have a question or you want to connect with other people that are part of a community, join the Facebook group. We'll put the link in the show notes below, Broken Brain Podcast on Facebook. And as always, if you love this episode, please share it with a friend or text me 302-335-6565 and you can share what insight you've gotten from the episode. Today's episode, Big Idea Tuesday, three big ideas on finding your calling and purpose. You know, so many of the episodes we've done with experts on the podcast that touch on the topic of mindset, often one of the biggest themes that comes up is purpose and finding our calling. Now, I've loved all the different things the experts like Marie Forleo or Chase Jarvis or other individuals that you've heard. I love the concepts they bring to the table. And I have my own perspective that I want to bring to the table too that will overlap a little bit with theirs and also, in a good way, bring some new ideas to the table. So let's start off at the beginning. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably have a growth mindset. You're somebody who's not fixed. You want to grow. You want to see what you can give to the world. You want to see how you can become a better version of yourself who's able to support the others around them. That's the difference between a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. A fixed mindset is somebody who is set in stone in how they see the world, and they don't necessarily want to grow. But if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you have a growth mindset. Now, if you have a growth mindset, one of the keys to a growth mindset is eventually, no matter what your life looks like right now, you want to start to step into a higher expression of the things that you want to do for yourself and for others. That's classic Maslow's hierarchy of needs. For those that took Psychology 101, if you're not familiar, just Google it, Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. But the short and sweet of it is, as you get your basic needs taken care of, security, shelter, finding a mate, you know, creating a family, whatever it might be, as you start to rise up in the pyramid of needs, you start to see that the highest need that human beings have, this is a need that human beings have and is absolutely a need that people with a growth mindset have, is a sense of self-expression and self-realization. Who am I? Why am I here? What do I want to bring to the world? You know, if you are lucky and you're not fighting for the daily economic survival for your life, which, by the way, over a billion people on the planet Earth live on less than $1.50 a day, so there's a whole population of individuals who are fighting for their daily survival. They can't think about self-expression and self-realization because they're just worried about putting food on the table for their babies, for their partner, for their spouse, making sure that they can survive. So if you're lucky enough that you're not in that boat which the vast majority of us are in Western society, then you start asking yourself important questions. When your basic needs are met, you start asking, how can I show up stronger for others and myself? How can I give back? Why am I here? What am I meant to do? Now, some people find the answers to those in religious studies and their faith in God or their faith in spirituality. And that's a beautiful thing. And even when you have that, whether you do or whether you don't have that background, whether you have religion as part of your makeup or not, or a spiritual practice, within that structure or even without it, there's still a sense of self-exploration that has to happen. There's a little bit of navigating the path to see and figure out why it is that you're here and what it is that you want to do. Now, one of the first concepts that I want to bring to the table that has been super essential for my life is a classic understanding in the Buddhist tradition. I didn't grow up in the Buddhist tradition, but I often rely on those teachings because they help me see and understand the world in a way that's very useful. So try it on. So one of the understandings in the Buddhist tradition is this understanding of meaninglessness, okay? So when you think about something being meaningless, imagine this concept of meaninglessness. It's a mouthful, but imagine that a core concept in the Buddhist tradition is understanding that life has no inherent meaning. Now, that's going to rub a lot of people the wrong way, but I'm just saying try it on for size. Now, sometimes when we think of the word meaningless, we often think that it's a negative thing. What are you saying life has no meaning? That we're just a bunch of protons and atoms and neutrons and electrons that are just flying around and we just collided and this is how we got here? No, that's not what it means at all. It means that because there's no inherent meaning to life, then life has the meaning that we bring to it. Because life has no exact meaning, we can bring our own meaning to it. The meaning is not an external thing. It's an internal thing that we bring to it. In Buddhism, they call this emptiness. Everything is empty of meaning other than the meaning that we bring to it. Why this is so key is so many times in life, when it comes to the calling, when it comes to our calling, when it comes to our purpose, we are looking for the meaning. We're looking for somebody else. We're looking for some other outside situation to determine what our purpose is. We want somebody to tell us. We want life to tell us. Now, in a way, life does tell us, and that's a little bit of a twist we're going to get to in a second. But in general, the most important thing to know is that we get to decide our calling. We get to decide our purpose, and any feeling of knowing what it is often comes from within and not from the outside. So that's the first concept that I want to bring to the table before we get into these big ideas, is that if we want to try this hat on, which is that you can inject any sort of meaning into the situation, but when the meaning comes from internally, you have a deeper sense of truth with what you want to look at the world with, what lens you want to put on to look at the world with. Here's the challenge of the opposite. If you use external factors to determine the meaning of life, then if you went through a really traumatic childhood, or you were abused, or something very bad happened to you, you could internalize that event to determine the meaning of your life and your purpose. You could say that me being abused from a young age, or having gone through these traumatic experiences, or something terrible that happened to you, you could use that as evidence to determine your purpose and your meaning. And the challenge with that, what's the challenge with that? The challenge with that is it's so limiting. Some of the most incredible people that have walked the face of this earth have had traumatic experiences happen to them and have used those experiences, and instead of being defined by them, they use them as rocket fuel in their journey of helping other people. So when we look at the world as meaningless, as empty, that it has no inherent meaning to it, then we remember that we can inject the meaning. You know, in this, I've mentioned landmark education a couple times. I took a course many, many years ago, back in the year 2001, I believe it was. And in the landmark tradition, you know, they have a phrase that said, life is meaningless and it's meaningless that it's meaningless. Like, don't make meaningless into a sense of atheism or something else like that. No, it just means that we get to decide the meaning that we inject into a situation. So when it comes to our purpose and our calling, the first thing to understand is we get to choose. We get to choose what it is, not an external source or idea. Now, to set us up, I'm going to pull a little essay that I wrote previously that contextualizes these three big ideas we're going to get into. So here we go. There's a question that we've all asked ourselves, and people have asked themselves since the beginning of time. Why am I here? It sounds like a big question, and it is, but the answer can be simple. Talk to people you look up to. Read the accounts of people you admire, and you'll see a pattern. The underlying theme that drives them, their calling, isn't some long, drawn-out purpose statement that's pages and pages deep or even paragraphs deep. It's often a simple sentence or two. The other thing that you'll notice for the people that you look up to is that their calling and purpose is not a definition. Their calling or purpose is not a definition of what they do for a living. Their calling and purpose might be related to what they do, but it isn't the title that's on their business card. Now, one thing that's important to understand is how we pull. How we put our calling to use is what I call the expression of our calling. The expression of our calling is where things get sophisticated. The expression of our calling is where our skill meets our passion. The expression of our calling is the outward execution of the internal calling. So there's your calling, and then there's your expression of your calling. Let's give an example. Oprah Winfrey, her calling is to teach and use her passion for teaching to uplift others. If you Google it, you can find it. What's Oprah's purpose? You'll see many articles that she's talked about that her passion is to teach. Now, the Oprah Winfrey Show, or Super Soul Sunday, or her magazines, her speeches, movies, and her overall empire is the expression of that calling. So her calling and purpose is to teach. The expression of that calling is all those other things that I mentioned. Magazines, books, business empire, what have you. Her calling, from what I read, was always there. Even from a young age, she was a natural teacher and someone who looked up to the teachers in her life. The mission in her life was to get better and better at the expression of that calling and the execution of it. Now, when I hear smart people say, "I haven't found my calling yet," I question their statement. Is it that they really haven't found their calling? Or is it that they're still working on how to express that calling, right? Remember, there's two things. There's our calling, which is very simple, and then there's our expression of the calling, which can be a little bit more sophisticated. So the question becomes, when I hear people say again, "I haven't found my calling yet," I question that statement. And I ask myself, is it that they haven't found their calling, or is it that they're still working on how to express that calling? It could be both, but to me, it often feels like the latter. Sometimes people think that their calling is too simple, that the idea, the things that they were interested in from a young age that they were drawn to was too simple. They think it needs to sound fancier or more complicated than it is. I know I used to feel that way. So a little story about me. Growing up, my dad placed a lot of importance on family and community. He taught me the same thing his dad taught him. At the end of the day, it's the relationships around us that make life rich. True story. From a young age, the thing that I looked forward to the most was spending time with my family, my cousins, my aunts, my uncles, especially when I was young and we used to move around a lot. When I moved from Kenya to Tennessee, to Texas, to Delaware, I would always look forward to meeting up my family. It didn't matter. Here's why I loved it. It didn't matter if we were just sitting there around the house washing dishes or doing homework. When I was with my cousins, I felt like life was full. They got me and I got them. We had our parents and grandparents to thank for creating that culture of support. Whatever we did, homework or whether we went to Disneyland, it was all the same. We were together, we were having fun, and that's what I remember. Now, as I grew up and realized how lucky I was to have the family that I do, I also realized that I could bring the same lessons of support that I learned from my family to my larger community. I started building websites and hosting events for different groups of people that I was involved in, people like the wellness community, groups like meditation, people that were interested in wellness, and cultural groups too. The hope was that the skill of caring I learned from my family would bring these communities closer together. And it worked fantastically. When I brought groups closer together in my unique way, people felt more supported and all sorts of deep friendships formed. Now, one day I was at an event. It was an event that I was hosting and someone came up to me and said, "What's your calling? Drew, I've always wondered, what's your calling?" Without really thinking about it, I just quickly replied back, "I think it has to do something with bringing community together." Whoa, the speed of my answer kind of shocked me. It seemed so obvious, and yet, after thinking about it a little bit more, it also seemed way too simple. I mean, bringing people together, is that really even a calling? Now, the thing is, bringing people together, that is my calling. Who gives a shit? Pardon my French. I know some people don't like it when I curse. But who gives a ish if it sounds too simple? A calling isn't something someone else picks for you. Remember, it's not meaning that comes from the outside. It's meaning that comes from the inside. It's meaning we inject into life. A calling isn't something that someone else picks for you. It's something you pick for yourself. It's your answer to the question, why am I here? My answer to that question is simple. I'm here to build community. Now, one day a friend asked me, if being the co-founder and CEO of a wellness company is my calling. I told him it wasn't. That's not my calling. He looked at me a little confused and followed up with, when do you think you'll start living your calling? I told him I wasn't confused. I was living my calling. Being the founder of a company isn't my calling, but it does allow me. This is the key. It does allow me to express my calling. I love building community. And through all my companies, the companies that I've sold, my current companies with Dr. Hyman, I've had the opportunity to connect a lot of people. My business partners and I have brought a team together that really cares about each other. And that same team has helped build a worldwide community of thousands of people who have similar values in life. Best of all, we're having a blast doing it. I like talking about wellness. I like helping people get healthy. I'm good at business, but those things aren't my calling. They could be somebody else's calling, but they're not my calling. Just remember that. They could be somebody else's. I'm not saying they can't be, but they're not my calling. They're all just part of the expression of my calling. I had to get good at them to allow my calling to unfold in a way that society deemed as being successful or in a way that would allow me to pay the salaries of others, including myself. Today, when I talk about my love for building community, it can seem obvious to others because it's only obvious in their minds because they think I'm successful at it. Translation, they see me making good money or they see this podcast being very successful. They see the companies that I've built with my business partners and they think to themselves, I must have it all figured out. Now, here's the thing. If I can claim that I have anything figured out, it's this. Don't doubt your calling. I've known that building community was my calling for at least 10 plus years now. And when I was really young, I maybe didn't use the word community because I didn't even probably know what that was, but I would use words like, I love bringing people together. That's how I used it when I was really young. When I was younger, I felt it, but as I grew older, I found the words to express it. Even when I was making hardly any money at all and felt totally confused about what to do in life, I always knew what my calling was. Okay, yeah, it may not have been crystal clear when I was young, but there was this internal feeling that I had that here's what I naturally like to do. I just didn't know how to express it to myself at the time. And who knows how it will express itself in the years to come. Anytime I feel anxious about the future, I remind myself that it's not my job. This is so key. Anytime I feel anxious about the future, I remind myself that it's not my job to worry about what may or may not happen. No, That's an absolute waste of time. My job, the number one most important thing for me to focus on is this. Remember the answer to this question. Why am I here? And let go of anything that doesn't serve that higher purpose, especially my own limiting beliefs. Okay, so let's unpack that. That was my essay that I brought to the table. It's about the difference between your calling and the expression of your calling. And there's three big ideas inside of it. Number one, your calling has already found you. The thing is, our calling doesn't have to be this complicated thing. Our purpose doesn't have to be this complicated thing. And also, too, it might evolve. There might be just simple things that you liked when you were younger. There might be simple things that you like as you grow and transform in your growth. And even if you don't know how to turn that into a job or a nonprofit or something that impacts millions and millions of people's lives, it doesn't matter. It's still true. It doesn't matter what it is. You know the small little things that light you up. And if you don't, tap back into you being a kid and ask yourself, what were the things that lit me up? What did I get excited about? Right? It can be simple. It doesn't have to be fancy. Those things that you liked can be part of your calling. And 99% of the time, I'm open to the fact that I'm not always right about it. I find in my conversations with most people, their calling was already there. They just have to actually peel back the layers of the onion, peel back the societal layers of conditioning to actually step back into it. The second big idea inside of that essay is there's a difference between your calling and the expression of your calling. Again, because a calling can be simple. Oprah Winfrey, think about her. She is called to be a teacher. Now, she could have been just as successful in life in terms of her own internal fulfillment if she was, I don't want to say just a teacher, but really, in an exciting way, just a teacher. She could have been as fulfilled because the purpose is the same, but the expression of it is different. Okay, yes, she's a billionaire and she has a mega empire. So, does that make her any more happy if she wasn't a teacher? I don't think so. I know plenty of people that might have a lot of money who are not living fully their calling and are miserable. I know plenty of people who don't have the accolades of success from that society deems successful and are just as fulfilled. So whether she's a teacher or whether she was a billionaire empire maker with magazines and a TV show, the calling is the same. Where we often get confused in life is when we say, I don't know what my calling and purpose is. What we are confusing is we often think that that means that we have to figure out how to make money from our passion and our calling. And the thing is that that could be part of the picture and it might be something that we explore, but just know that that takes time. Even though I loved bringing community together, I was doing it for years and years and years and years without making any real money from the process. So sometimes we're lucky, we find mentors, and we have the courage to keep on investing in ourselves, and we keep on doubling down, and we keep trying and trying and trying new things. And that ultimately leads us to our third big idea, which is that truly we find the expression of our calling in action. The expression of our calling, which is how to make an impact, how to make money from it, that comes in action. We have to try things. You know, my girlfriend has a podcast that she's launching soon. It's called Behind Her Empire. And we're going to be running the first episode of it on the Broken Brain Podcast. And her first interview is with the founder of Equinox, the mega empire of Equinox. And inside that first interview, one of the key takeaways that this incredible woman, Lavinia, the founder of Equinox, brings to the table, she says, you don't find your lane finds you. So there's two ideas that are both equally true that I want to present to you. The expression of your calling finds you, and it finds you through action. You know, we did an episode with Marie Forleo, and inside that episode, she really said it's that, you know, you find your purpose in doing. You find your purpose in action. And also Lavinia saying you don't find your lane finds you. And that's true when it comes to the expression of it, how to make money from it, how to give back, how to make an impact, how to start a nonprofit, how to make it something that actually scales and grows. But I want to also add to it that the calling, the true sense of calling has been something that's been with you all along. Now, sometimes it doesn't make sense until later on when we look back, but know that it's inside of us. It's inside of us and it's not coming from an external source. So both of those things are true. The calling is clear and we're aware of it internally, but the expression of it comes from action, trying stuff, learning, reading, and playing with it. If we continue down that process and we have patience and we don't rush it, then we can constantly take steps along the way to get closer to it. So I hope you found this episode helpful. Big Idea Tuesday, three big ideas on finding your calling and purpose. To recap, your calling has already found you. There's a difference, big idea number two, there's a difference between the expression of your calling and your actual calling. Number three, finding the expression of your calling comes through action. Have patience, be open, be aware, be willing to pivot, be willing to let things go when they're not helping you go down the pathway that you want to go towards. Be courageous. And most importantly, be kind to yourself. These things don't happen overnight. They take time. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. It would mean the world if you would leave a review or share it with a friend. Drew Pruitt signing off. Talk to you soon.